Welcome back to A Fresh Story, the podcast where we have conversations about brave decisions to start over again. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Olivia, and we're so glad you're here today. Raina Boston is a rising thought leader in the women's and maternal rights space with a fresh, imperative voice. She is a working mom of three, fierce advocate, co-founder of the nonprofit focused on mothers' rights, Chamber of Mothers, and an HR corporate baddie. By night, she writes and creates content for her online platform, The Working Momtras. The Working Momtras is a community designed to help empower moms to unsubscribe from the scams of motherhood, resign from doing it all, and instead lean into their inherent worth. Raina has appeared on Good Morning America, PBS NewsHour, and many of your favorite podcasts. She is regularly tapped to provide thought leadership on the intersection of working motherhood, paid leave, and childcare. And she and her family, it says, reluctantly reside in Florida. Well, Raina, we met you through our friend Laura Danger and Crystal Britt, who are big fans of yours. And when we were thinking about who to come on the show, Laura was like, you have to talk to Raina. You have so many things you're going to talk about. So I'm really just thank you for taking the time because you do so many things and I appreciate you being here.
I mean, I'm honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course.
My pleasure. How are you doing today in your state of Florida there?
Good. I mean, it's overcast. We're getting the cold fronts that everywhere else is getting, but you know, it's cold for us. Our temperature is about to drop. So I look forward to this time of the year. It's like when I can pull out my five items of winter clothing.
You have a very cozy looking sweater on over there.
Oh, thank you. And things are good. I just finished celebrating the MLK Day parade with my family. That's something that we do every year. So it's just fun to see it through my kids' eyes. Life is good.
Good.
Life is good.
Perfect. Well, let's go back to the beginning of your fresh start story.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I have to begin in 2020, right? That was a lot of people's fresh start is that I think the pandemic really forced people to get clear on their values and, you know, you couldn't escape yourself during that time. So you had to really, and many people were confronted with themselves, which I certainly was. So in 2020, I had started the Working Momtras around this time in January. And then, you know, I took a promotion in like February. And then we all know what happened in March and beyond. And the promotion that I took was just not a good fit. Like, I felt like I had taken this promotion because that's just what you do. If you're going to be a working mom, you got to lean in. You got to climb the corporate ladder. You have to make your career worth it, whatever the heck that means. And so I had leaned in way too far into this promotion and it just wasn't a good fit. Like I, you know, it just was a very tough environment on top of the world, what was going on in 2020 and so much uncertainty. My husband was a frontline healthcare worker at the time and he worked in a hospital. And at that time we had two small kids. I think they were like, 3 and 4. I can't even like, what is time after this? I don't know.
I have no idea.
And so, I mean, it was constantly getting exposed and all of this. So I had a new job that was toxic. I had a partner who was working in a hospital. I had no idea when schools were going to be closed, all of that stuff. So my mental health was just not good. I did not know at the time, but I was experiencing panic attacks multiple times a day. My sleep was getting worse and worse. And I was really struggling with this job and just really struggling with like the failure that I was like anticipating or feeling and all of that. And so one morning in 2020, in April, I disassociated in my kitchen. So like, I just, was in the kitchen and I did not know what the next step was for breakfast. And I just got very scared. Like I felt like something's wrong. Something's really, really wrong. Like I knew I wasn't doing well mentally, but like up until that point, I was just going to keep trying to push through it. And that moment really clarified that there was just no more pushing that I could do
I have a question for you, and you don't have to share this if you don't want to, but you said that you didn't know that you were having panic attacks. And I imagine that's actually a very common experience for people. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what those panic attacks looked like, because maybe there's other people having these that experience.
Sure. So for me, it would be like I remember like I wore a Fitbit at the time. So I would be like, oh man, I just can't control my heart rate. Like, who can control their heart rate? Like, come on. I'm just like, oh, I just can't control my heart rate. Like, my heart just seems to be racing all the time. And then I would also notice, like, and this, like, we'll get into this later. I didn't get diagnosed with ADHD till I was 34. But like, now I know, like, in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I was in the throes of ADHD burnout. And because women are so underdiagnosed, I'm like, it's anxiety, it's depression. But like, no, those are comorbidities. So I would like, my heart would be racing, and then I wouldn't be able to like hear people. So like, you know, people would be like, give me like verbal instructions or something. And it just was like, I could not like integrate it. I couldn't hold on to it. And so like that heart racing, auditory processing stuff. I like just couldn't eat. So I lost a lot of weight during that time. That's what those felt like. That's what that time felt like. Just like a very, like multiple times a day of my heart racing and just not feeling great.
I appreciate you sharing that, because I think so many times people think like a panic attack is like what we see in the TV shows or whatever. And I think a lot of us have them more often than we realize. And it's important to understand, because it can be really scary when you're feeling like that and you're not able to process or whatever it is. So I appreciate that.
Of course, of course. So so that morning in April, I called my mom and I said, I think I'm going to quit this job. Like, I don't have anything left. Like, I just could not imagine failing. I just remember feeling like I would rather get COVID than like be fired or something like that. And like, that's just like shows how toxic work culture can be, is that like you'd rather get ill than like, it's the job that's the problem. It's not me, you know? And so my mom was like, hold up, like, let's get you talking to somebody. You can take a leave of absence from work, which is what I did. I took a mental health leave. That was like, you know, I talk a lot about my paid leave story being with my daughter, but it actually started when I had to address these panic attacks that I was having. And so I took a few months off of work. I used short-term disability just to get myself together, just to get a psychiatrist, just to like, just reset, because I was so burnt out that I just was a shell of myself.
Yeah.
And so the story that I tell is that, you know, they prescribed me an SSRI and things, but those took like 30 days to kick in. And so like around that time period, I watched the Mr. Rogers documentary. And I was fine. I like didn't feel anything until like the very end, when he was giving a commencement address at Dartmouth. And he was saying, you don't have to do anything sensational in order to be loved. Like when he was talking about, I like you just the way you are, that, you know, your worth is basically inherent. Like you could just show up on the planet and like you're sensational. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. And in that moment, I realized that I had been living my life as if the opposite were true. Like I had always wanted to be sensational, whether it was at school or in work or, you know, in all of the things, all of the achievements that our society tells us are so important. And just hearing that in that moment, like really like released something in me of just like, at first it was just like, you know, just like broke me wide open. And just like, it was the first time that I could like really cry and grieve about a life that like the way I had been going about my life. And then the next day my antidepressant kicked in and I was like, that was the beginning of like really starting over on my life and starting over on views that I held and just reimagining how things could be and should be.
So where in this were you diagnosed with ADD?
So I did not get diagnosed until well after this. So I didn't get diagnosed until 2022. So it was 2 years later.
Yeah, I only ask because I also have ADHD, and it's so interesting that you're saying so much of this resonates with me. And I want to go back to the disassociation thing for a second, because I've experienced that also, like, as somebody with a neurodiversity and also with, you know, depression and anxiety and all these things. I think people don't realize how scary that moment is, right? When you're like, I know there's something I'm supposed to be doing and I can't access that moment. And I think for a lot of people, it does come from burnout, right? It comes, and also from having a neurodiversity that you don't know yet. Yeah. And I remember a lot of times, like, not feeling like I even knew who I was. Like, why am I here? What am I doing? Like, I'm just like this, like you said, like a shell almost of a person. So how did the journey go from that starting point? What was like your next step?
Man, I feel like there are so many things that happened, and I'll just try and keep it high level. That was really the catalyst for me reexamining everything. Like, why did I feel like I had to lean in? Why did I feel like my worth was tied to my career? Why did I feel like, why did I feel like it was okay to like live like that? Why did I think that, where did I get these ideas from? And, you know, at the same time, like 2020 happened and Untamed came out. So of course that was like a lot of people's revolution. Oh, yeah. So like a lot of things were happening. I read that book and I'm like, oh, my marriage also kind of sucks. Like, I don't know that I want to be participating in this, have you ever seen those memes where it's like, as soon as I get my mental health together, it's over for you, hoes. Like,
yeah,
it was that moment. I was like, mentally, I was like preparing for, right, I'm going to be having tough conversations about work.
Yeah.
With my employer, I'm going to be having tough conversations with my partner about the next steps of this relationship. Yeah. I'm going to be reexamining how I mother and why I feel like,
yeah,
this good mother trope is something I feel like I need to perform or participate in. It just was the beginning of the unraveling of a lot of things. And like, when I think about my space, the Working Mom Tours, I started it to like figure out like, how do we, you know, create our own definition of having it at all? How do we like participate in the system in a way that's the least harmful? And then I left like that, like, you know, by a few months in, I'm just like, why do I even want to participate in this? Like, why do I even want to have some of these dumb conversations? Why are we not knocking all of this over?
Yeah. Right.
And so with work, it really was like a point of like, I really feel like the fresh start is also asking for what you need. And like,
yes,
but first going inwards and seeing like, identifying that there's some real problems, and then sitting with yourself to understand like, what is it that I actually need? What would feel good? What's wrong here?
Yeah.
And then like communicating that. So at work, I just, you know, basically was like, I reached out to someone that I was close to and I was like, you know, I think I'm going to like leave. I think it's time. And she was like, hold on. Like, she could see that there was a lot of change happening. And she's just like, let me do some work on the back end to see if there's like a better fit for you or something that's not going to completely disconnect you from employment, which like, now I look back in hindsight and I'm like, oh, that's ADHD impulsivity of me being like, now that I feel better, I'm going to blow all this up. And that's the only way. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only way is to blow everything up.
Walk away from it. Don't even look back.
And just start over. Yeah. We're creating something brand new. We don't
throw it out.
Nope. And so that was like a big shift of like, okay, well, what if it means I have to take a demotion? Yep, doing that. Like, I already know that that's probably going to be what's best for my mental health. Like, it also was like a rejection of like, I felt like I had to prove people wrong. And like, that is just something I will never do ever again. I do not need to prove anybody wrong. If you don't get it, that's on you. That has nothing to do with me. It's just a waste of time and it's a distraction. So I'm not doing that.
I love that.
Then the next area was my marriage. And I said to my husband, I said, this is not working. Like, there are things that I'm going to need from you in order for this partnership to continue in a marriage. And, you know, he said to me, and I've like talked about this before, he said something to the effect of, I was like, I really need you to go to therapy. Like, that's what I'm like needing from you, is to like there's not going to be any good done if it's just like us going together when there's your own things that you need to deal with and there's mm-hmm. things that I have to deal with.
Right.
And he said something to the effect of like, well, if you are going, if you're waiting on me, or if that's like the condition, then like you should prepare for the worst case scenario. And I don't think that he understood that I was like at the point where I'm like, okay, cool. I've communicated to you what I need from you. You're telling me you're not going to be able to meet the need. I am not wasting any more of my time on this planet on this. Like, have a nice day. Let's begin the separation procedures. And then I think that really just like shocked him. Like, truly, I think he was just very, very surprised. I don't think he expected. I think he thought I was bluffing, but I wasn't. I was done. And so that was like a fresh start for him because he didn't want to end our marriage. And he knew that if he wanted to remain in partnership with me, that there are expectations that need to be met. And it was like an immediate about face. And like, I know that this isn't something that happens for everybody. And like, I don't say it to brag. It's just that like, I really thought like, this is the end. And like, I will be starting a new life and that's going to be that. But like, he really did respond to that impetus of like, oh, like I have to really get myself together. So immediately, like I had not mentioned anything about alcohol. But like for a lot of healthcare workers, he was using more alcohol because to cope with the horrors that he was seeing every day. And he just wasn't a pleasant person. He wasn't abusive. He just was an asshole.
Yeah.
And so he immediately got in touch with his EAP. He started AA. And like that was the fresh start of our marriage. I mean, there were other things that happened, but it like really was like, it felt like a very intentional decision that like that we are no longer going to be doing marriage in this way.
Yeah.
And that this is a choice and either one of us is free to choose a different way. And it just was like a fresh start for our marriage in that way too. And like something that I just honestly did not think was going to be possible. And
I my marriage is
like way like better than it's ever been. And I think it's because you have two people who are really doing the work and understand that this is not an obligation. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Yeah. Divorce is always an option. What are you talking about?
Yeah, always an option. I think it's amazing. And I don't think that it's bragging. I think it's so important to tell stories like that. I know that's what Olivia is going to say too, but I'm saying it. Like, I think it's so important to tell stories like that because I was like the other story, right? Which was like, I was like, I'm realizing I'm different. I'm realizing I have to do growth and work and like I need more. And my ex was like, sorry. Like, you know, and I think so often that's the story we hear. So it is so refreshing and inspiring to know that there are men out there, partners out there that are like, I want to stay here with you. I want to do the work with you and I'm going to make myself better without like cajoling. You know, you just said, these are my this is what's happening with me. This is where I'm going. Come or don't. Like, and he came, like he decided to come along for the journey. And I think that I love hearing stories like that.
I was going to say, I appreciate that so much because as somebody that fields a lot of phone calls from friends who are like, my marriage is in this weird place. I in the last week have gotten 5 phone calls from friends and the same phone call. I have some big decisions to make, right? I have some big decisions and I'm the most pro marriage person ever, right? I want your marriage to work out for you. And I think it's so important to remember, like, you did the work and then you were brave enough, right? You had the Mr. Rogers in your head to be like, I'm here, right? I exist and I'm special just because I'm me and you can be part of this or don't be part of this, right? And I think so much of that comes down to the fact that I would assume he respects you so much and respects your journey and your decision making, and you're probably an amazing team together, I would assume.
Yeah, we work really well together. And I also think that it was just like a necessary revolution, right? I think that it's mm-hmm. I think we just so the assumption is that like marriage is something that you just it's either successful or it's not, when it's kind of like sometimes it's just complete or it's not. I don't mm-hmm. know. And so I think that even just saying, like, I think the respect is a big piece too, because it's like, I respect my husband as a person. And I was like, what I'm seeing is a total lack of respect for yourself. And like, that worries me. So like, how can you be respectful in this partnership? How can you be respectful of our family unit if you don't respect yourself?
Yeah.
And so it was really like, you know, I want you to be well. Like, that was my whole thing. I want you to be well, even if it's not with me. Right. And I want to be well, even if it's not with you. Right. And so I think that that feeling of choice and wanting what was best for the other person was a huge part of it. And then I also think that's continued in that, like, we're constantly having conversation. Like, we don't always get it right. Like, there's a lot of stress in that we have three small children and we both work full time. And he's also pursuing a master's degree. So like, that like requires more timing. And so, you know, we had an argument the other day about school stuff and like how frustrated he is that, you know, this is not fun. And I'm like, well, who told you it was going to be fun? Like, but me saying like, hey, it really hurts my feelings when,
or
being able to communicate that. But yeah, I would say that we really respect one another. And I think we really like one another. That's the main thing.
Really important.
We really like each other as human beings. And, so I mean, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah. So, exactly. Okay, Raina.
I'm glad it worked out. That's a great
way
to
that. We love that. And it's just, again, so I love to hear about, like you said, marriage is not always going to be like an upward like slope, like perfect, perfect, perfect. Like, there are moments you're going to have to figure shit out together.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you sharing that. So where did Chamber of Mothers come in? Because I would really want to make sure we have time to share that story.
So after all of this revolution happened in 2021, I got pregnant with my daughter. Okay. And she just was, I don't know. I think about her and it, like, it's not like I didn't have a baby to fix my marriage. That wasn't it. It was just like, we have evolved and like, oh, by the way, maybe we want another baby. I don't know. Let's see what happens. And so she happened and I just felt like she represents so much in my life of like choosing and choice and new ways and like just fresh starts. That after I had her, it was the first time that I had access to paid leave for like parental leave. So the first two times I had first child, I had 12 weeks off. Second child, I had 6 weeks, which is like a longer and more annoying story. And then her, I knew I was going to have 5.5 months paid to be with her. And at the same time, Build Back Better was happening and it included paid leave. So I just remember being on leave feeling like nobody's going to experience like postpartum anxiety or depression because they didn't have leave anymore. Like, this is going to be the standard for the United States. And I felt so proud. And then I watched it evaporate 12 weeks, 4 weeks, 0 weeks. And I just got mad as hell. And so I went on NewsHour and I was like responding to tweets and talking to reporters. And, you know, a lot of other women online were getting mad because they had seen this coming too. Yeah. And so, you know, I remember Lauren Smith Brody from the Fifth Trimester posting like, hey, we don't know what it is, but it's going to be something. Is it a union? Is it a strike? We don't know. And I said, whatever it is, I want to be involved. And so we overnight formed the Chamber of Mothers and had 10,000 followers. And now we are just rolling, rolling, rolling. Our three pillars are paid family leave, affordable and accessible childcare, and improved maternal health outcomes. And we are uniting mothers as advocates to create a better America that is inclusive of those three pillars, because when you make America better for mothers, you make it better for everybody.
Where were you last weekend? Where was Chamber of Mothers? They were featured somewhere.
So we were in a New York Times ad. We are partnering with Bobby and Moms First and Paid Leave for All and Glamour Magazine on Push Harder for Moms. And that is an initiative that is working on getting grants to families for just get them grants for leave and to just push harder for them.
I love the work you're doing. What have been some stories that have come out of the work that you've done with Chamber of Mothers or Working Mantras that have really just blown you away? I mean, I know just the other day you were sharing a GoFundMe for a single mom that she got her money, because I was excited to see that. What are some stories that have really touched you doing this work?
Sure. So a big part of what I do on the Working Momtras is like talk a lot about community care, because that's the way forward. It is not hyper-individualism. It's not trying to be so successful under capitalism that the problems that plague our society don't touch us or pierce us less. I want us to all be thinking about, like, if it's impacting me, how is it impacting somebody else? How is it impacting somebody differently? And so we talk a lot about money and student loans and marriage and being a working parent or stepping away from paid work, all of those things. And I have the opportunity to have some really interesting conversations.
You do. You really do. You dig deep. I really appreciate that. You ask really hard questions. And I'm amazed.
Show up.
I was going to say, people do. They want to talk.
People are tired, and at least moms, like, or at least I am. I'm tired of hearing about, what do you do about mom guilt? Who cares? Like, mom guilt is not the problem. Mm-hmm. That's not the rent I pay for being a mother in this society. It's not a tax. It's not a debt I owe. Why are we talking about mom guilt? Why are we not asking better questions? Like, I want to know your reaction to your kids seeing after you came back from a trip. Or like, that to me is more powerful than like, what do you do about mom guilt? Like, I just think that if we asked better questions, we would get so much better answers. We would have answers that instead of cause us to continue to be in this cycle of striving, allow us to connect more and collaborate and empathize and just be less isolated. So we talk about, like, so my friend is going through a divorce. She's a single mom. She made the brave decision and it's like, this is not working for me. And so divorce is expensive and it's challenging. And she had a roof or a tree fall on her roof into her daughter's room, which caused an emergency of thousands of dollars that she did not have. And so her therapist encouraged her to post a GoFundMe, to that therapist. And I immediately was like, of course, can I amplify this for you? Are you comfortable with me sharing? And we did it. Like, that's like, to me, the purpose of the Working Momtras. It's not, how do you do it all? It's, that's the wrong question. Like, how can we show up for one another? How can you show up for yourself? How can you create community? How do you intentionally create a village, whether it's virtual or otherwise? Like, all of that. Like, I'm so much more interested in like that than like, where is my ambition? It's like, you still have ambition. You can be ambitious about other things. That doesn't mean that you've lost your ambition because you are not able to climb an imaginary ladder.
What? No, and I think something you do really well too, Raina, is like, you remind people we're all the same. Right? Like, this could happen to you. You could be a single mom with a roof issue, right? I think not that you humble people, but you really, the questions that you ask bring us to the same level, right? It's like, we're all just going through this. It's hard.
The humane humanity level.
Like, we're all, connection. And like, so I think when you get to that level, that's where you can start to see people as like community, right? Like, well, of course I'm going to show up for you. I'm not better than you. Right. Like, there's no, just because you're a single mom or whatever it is. So I mean, I appreciate all the work you do. I know it's a lot of work that you do behind the scenes there. And I appreciate all of it because it's so necessary. And that's the way forward. Right. Like you said, and that's so much of what you do with Chamber of Mothers. What is coming up with Chamber of Mothers? I know you probably have some exciting things in the works.
Yes, there's a lot in the works. I would just encourage everyone to, one, follow us on Instagram at Chamber of Mothers. Get on our newsletter. Because that's where we're going to be talking about any initiatives that are rolling out. So 2024 is an election year. We are a nonpartisan 501c3, but we can talk about what it means to vote according to your interests. We can talk about how you can find out where your candidate stands on paid leave, childcare, what they're doing for maternal health. And also, the most important work that we're doing is that it's okay for us to give a damn about those things, and it's okay to advocate for those things. Those are kitchen table issues. Those are big damn deals. Those are worthy of national, federal conversations. It's not a nice to have. Our country is paying the price for not investing in families and for treating women as an unpaid, unseen safety net. This is not how functional societies operate. We are uniquely American in this experience of not having federally subsidized childcare. You did not do anything wrong if you cannot afford tens of thousands of dollars a year, where childcare is more than in-state tuition at a college or university. You did not do anything wrong. The system is broken. It's broken beyond belief, and we need to have critical investment in this infrastructure. Period.
Amen. Yeah. Yes. When is your clearly writing a book, I hope.
I'm working on a proposal.
Yeah, see, I knew it was in you. I could see. Yeah, I know. Because you speak about this, you know, I think that for so many mothers, myself included, we don't give ourselves time to think about this stuff. And the way that you approach it is so reasonable and attainable. And I'm like, oh, I understand it when Raina says this. Like, I may not understand it reading all the things and the whatever, but when you just say it and I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, what an amazing everything you're doing. Like, this is the stuff that truly is going to change the next generations and the world and all of that. And I appreciate you so much for taking the time and all of your amazing, I know some of the other women you work with over there, and it's like, truly, it's just so necessary because you make it approachable for us to say, yeah, we can get behind you. We can, obviously, we believe in you. We believe in this mission. So, you know, we here at Fresh Starts are big fans of Chamber of Mothers.
Thank you.
So if somebody's going through a fresh start, Raina, what would be some words that you could just impart to them?
Trust yourself. I think so often we know the answer, you know, and it's hard because we don't like the questions that we have to have, or we don't like the answer that we get. Like, it's not fun to hear or be at the point where you're like, oh, my marriage is in a really crappy place. Like, and like thinking about what does that mean? Like, is it the end? What do I need to start preparing? I think like there's so much, it can be scary to even ask the question, right? So I think that it is asking yourself, what do you need? Asking yourself, what is actually happening? What is the reality around me? What is it telling you right now? And how can I approach that with curiosity instead of fear?
Yeah. I love that. And the last thing that you ate and really loved.
This is a good question. I love eating. I love food. Yesterday, I had a really good lobster roll.
Oh, amazing.
Like, is there anything more? Like, it's so simple. And it's perfect. Just, like, a little bit, like, fancy. That it's just, like, and, like, the textures and butter. What? Butter
yeah, lobster. Lobster's just the best.
Lobster. Yeah. So that lobster roll.
Okay. I'm jealous.
I appreciate that you had a lobster roll on a Monday in January.
I literally was... We were walking to the parade route and I was like, oh, a lobster roll place. Like, can we stop on the way back? And Trav was like, yeah. And so we did. And that was that on that.
A good man.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Raina, where can people find you? Where can they get fired up with you?
Yeah. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at The Working Mantras. I'm also on TikTok. I'm going to try and be better about TikTok.
Me too. We'll do it together.
Elder millennial stateswoman in me is like,
Me too.
Another thing to do. But I think that there's some really important conversations there. I mean, that's like honestly how I started getting my ADHD diagnosis.
Me too.
Listening to people's
me too.
Experience. My therapist was like, oh, you might want to like Google this. And I did. And I was like, oh my God, this answers everything. But anyway, The Working Mantras on Instagram, TikTok. My website is just theworkingmantras.com. And then Chamber of Mothers, please follow us on Instagram at Chamber of Mothers. And then our website is just chamberofmothers.com. Get on our newsletter. That's where we're going to be talking about all the exciting things that we're doing this year, like Vote Like a Mother, and have updates on chapter meetings and like all of the ways that you can get involved.
It just, I can see how much it lights you up. It's so beautiful. Like to see like that's where your journey landed you.
Yeah.
Because you are going to do big things, my friend. You got big stuff ahead of you. I can see it. I can see it. You're like ready. The world is not even ready for you yet. We're getting there. Well, Raina, we appreciate you. We appreciate the work you're doing so much. And of course, all this will be in the show notes. So please, please, please go follow, go sign up, go do all the things, because Raina is changing the world and we are here cheering you on. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Thank you for listening to today's story. We're always here, and we're so proud of you.
A Fresh Story is produced by Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only platform for everything you need to begin again. You can read the show notes and learn more about today's episode at afreshstory.com.